39, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. We are nearing the end of our study on the Ten Commandments. And as we've looked at them, we've seen the importance of them. We've seen what they are. We've seen the depth in which we should consider them. Instead of just the first glance, well, okay, well, I won't lie. But then we took a turn and we got to love the truth. We got to trust in the truth. I thought about this last night. You know, you think about the woman at the well. What was her greatest pronouncement on what the Lord had done for her? That he knew everything I've done. Not just that she was a Samaritan, but that she had gross personal sin. And that instead of us finding redemption and burying it, redemption came in bringing it out and having that conversation. What about putting God first? Oh, yes, of course, if I were to go to your house, I probably wouldn't find any altars to Baal. I probably wouldn't find anything like that. But then we looked at the depth of it. Somebody had put I'm going to guess we had a door knocker on the front door. I came in late this morning, but I'm going to guess we had a door knocker from the local apostolic, I just call them the apostates, is what they are. They must put a door knocker on, or somebody brought it in. I don't know how it got on my desk, but it, be honest with you, it's not welcome there. Why? Oh, brother, that's very narrow-minded. If they're having a get-together, wouldn't it be fun to take the kids? You know, there's a lot of fun things I can do with the kids that has zero to do with false religion. It turns out I can have a lot of fun with my kids without having to take them over to where God's word is twisted and changed. Well, that's not very kind. It doesn't have to be kind. I'm not being mean. That's where the reward is. I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. And I'm putting my God first. Well, why would I go where God's word is twisted? And I mean no offense to anybody out there. I could sit down and have a cup of coffee from anybody, from any denomination. We can have a good old time. I will pray for them. I will love them. I will do everything I can for them. But there comes a line where I'm not going to come to your church and support it. Hey, we're going to take communion over here at this funeral. I'm not going. Why? Because you're committing blasphemies with your Babylonian traditions. Well, how dare you spit in this family's face? How dare you spit in my God's face? You know, there's a realm where I could love you, support you, be there for you, and not have to spit in my God's eye. So when we say, hey, put God first. When we say that they have no other gods before God, we dove deep into what that means. And then we looked, you know, what is it that Jesus said about these commandments? What is the greatest? And we've spent 2 weeks looking at how the first one he mentioned was to love God with all your heart. And if I love God, these things are easy. They're no problem whatsoever. I get this weird thing when family helps me, says thank you for me coming over and doing something. You know, we spent the weekend, we put a roof on my in-laws' cabin up north. Had a good time getting to know them. And there, I know how to rip a roof off, but as far as getting the exact details and how to, I did a lot of learning myself this weekend. Hey, it was a lot of fun. Hey, now how do you do that? Okay, now what? Okay, so what's the mathematics? Okay, I got it. I did a lot of learning. I also did a lot of lifting and a lot of work, but I had a good time. And at the end, my father-in-law looks over. He goes, well, hey, thanks for coming up. You don't have to thank me. It's just what we do. I didn't even think about it. He goes, hey, we're putting on a roof. And I go, okay, well, I can give you this day and that day. I'll be on by. That's the way it was. You know, when it comes down to loving God, if we love Him proper, being to church on Sunday ain't gonna be an issue. If we love God first and foremost, tithing won't be a problem. Being kindly to each other, obeying His commands won't be a big deal because we love Him, we know who He is, we know what He's about, and we know His way is the only way to do things. right? You get around a bunch of guys, we will get to talking about projects around here. You get one brother, well, I think we ought to do it this way. You get another brother, well, I think we need to do it that way. And both ways are going to work. Neither one of them are going to be a reproach. You know what I mean? There's moments in our lives where you could put the peanut butter down first and then the jelly, or maybe you put the jelly down. Maybe you put them on two separate pieces of bread and slap them together. Either way, you got a sandwich. That's not the way it goes with the things that God tells us to do. There's one way. There's one way, and it's His way. Not because He is domineering, not because He is bossy, but because being the creator of all things, He just happens to know how it works. So then we transition, we go over, what now? Matthew 22, verse 39, and the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Man, I've had some rough neighbors. I've had some great neighbors. I like the neighbors I have now. I like to go down, hey, we'll go down there, we'll sit in the middle of the street, we'll talk sometimes. I love my neighbors. I have some good neighbors. Have a neighbor, like a dog got loose, found it, you know, it was the middle of a snowy day, had a little cute little sweater on, just went up and down the street trying to figure out who's looking for, just trying to see who's looking for a dog. They were out there, found out they had a prayer request, were having brain surgery, just had time right there to be able to spend with them. Love where I am right now. Love your neighbor. And then later, what happens? They're going to ask him, they're going to say, well, Lord, who's my neighbor? And he gives them an example of what? Of a regular, everyday Joe just like them, getting the tar beat out of them on the road. And it wasn't a priest, it wasn't a teacher, it wasn't a governor, it wasn't some holy man that came by and took care of him. Two people came by who were supposed to be good people and wandered right on by. But who was it that stopped? The Samaritan. Now you have to understand how deeply offensive the Samaritan was. To them, they were a half-breed. They were a compromise, right? It would almost be like today, if I were to sit there and I were to say, all right, so here's a blue-blooded American, and they get beat up on the street, and along comes an illegal alien. That's what we're talking about. That's the level of offense that they would have had. Now, why that's so offensive today, I'm not entirely sure, other than the fact that they're doing something illegal. But we get an idea where we paint human beings with a brush. Oh, you're a vile, you're a less of a human being. I tell you what, they may be illegal in our law's eyes. But we were illegal in God's eyes. We were wrong. We were an offense to Him. So compassion should always be there. But He used that illustration of somebody who was so completely, they were so completely opposed. And He said, that's your neighbor. And not only that, but they painted that neighbor as somebody who showed kindness to them. Why? Because if you love the people you see, you're going to have a better time obeying God when it comes down to how to treat them. As a matter of fact, go to Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. It says this, owe no man anything but to love one another. Now, wait a minute. Owe a man nothing but love them. That's the only thing you owe them. Did God just say that I owe it to other people to love them? Yeah. That's exactly what it says. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Going back to what Jesus had to say. Hey, if there's any other commandment, if there's any other middle ground, if there's anywhere where you get confused as to how to treat another being, remember to love them as you would love yourself. Oh, well, we live in a world of putting ourselves down for fun. Well, I don't love myself very much. Did you feed yourself today?
Yeah.
Why? Because you cared for your needs. I see you're still here. You must love yourself enough to still be here. Right? We do love ourselves more than we think. And even if you're one of those people that sit there and are always thinking about how awful you are, isn't it funny how the person you like the least is always on your mind? It's almost your favorite thing to think about that way. We love ourselves more than we give ourselves credit for. if we would want something done to us, right, it's referred to as the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That ought to be the way it is. If you want someone to come across you and be gentle and kind, then that's the way you should be. I'm not always a patient person. If we're going to say any part of these Sunday school lessons hit me, it's this part. Because me, I come off as a soft guy, but to be honest with you, I lack patience a lot. Where I want to handle things now. I only want to say things once or twice. Right? If I say this is the rule, folks, I want everyone to know that that's the rule and we don't break it and I don't have to repeat it and I don't like repeating myself. I'll say that around the house. You're about to make me repeat myself. I hate it. I don't think anybody likes saying the same sentence 12 times over in a day. But for some reason, that's the gift us parents have. I almost kind of want, remember back when we used to have those, I can't remember what they were called, but they were handheld devices with sounds in them. And you would push it and it would come out with that sound. I kind of want that. Shut the door. Shut the door. Shut the door. Turn off the light. Turn off the light. Turn off the light. Don't lick that. Don't lick, just stuff that you just constantly end up having to say. I'm not very patient. But I tell you what, there have been moments in my life where I have tried the patience of others. I do that now. Where I try the patience of others, sometimes because I think it's funny. Other times it's good old-fashioned ignorance. I really have no idea. I'm really kind of lost here. And then I get frustrated. I need someone to come along and say, no, this is how it's done. And I need that the fifth or sixth time. And in that moment, what I need is for someone to be kind and patient. And hey, just like the way the Lord teaches us, right? Okay, now like this. Okay, yep, you got it. You got it. That's good. That's what I need. And if that's what I need, then that's what I must be willing to show. If that's what God has taught me and shown me and how He's taught me and shown me, then that must be how I show others and deal with others. With patience, love, and kindness. And in doing so, it will encompass all of those commandments and cover all of the gray areas I may find. Well, what do I do? Now, there comes a few moments in my life where I'll come across somebody where I'd say, you know what, if I was doing that, I'd want to get whopped upside the back of the head. That doesn't necessarily mean you have permission to do that. But I've sat there, I've seen people do stuff, and I just looked over at my wife. I go, hon, you ever see me doing something like that, you take me out. You ever see me at that level of disrespect? You ever see me at that level of awful? You just clear me out. Because you see people doing things and it's a horrible way to live. Horrible, but you got to love them anyway. Later on this morning, we're going to be looking at Jesus on the cross. I've got that sign, and I think sometimes I get nervous. I had all the preachers there, and they always look over at the sign when we're down there for the conference that I have. It says, love them anyway, and it refers to Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think a lot of people misunderstand that as thinking I'm talking about our church. That ain't it. It is a reminder. There's going to be people in our lives doing awful things. There's going to be people in our lives doing minor annoyances. You know what I mean? I think the people up there in Washington are destroying this country. And I think they're going to make our lives terrible, and they're going to make our children's lives terrible. Right? I don't care what flag they're flying, they're not on our side. And they ain't been on our side for a very long time. I find that a big grievance. I'm angry about that. I am commanded to love them and pray for them anyway. Somebody told me that ISIS threw out a warning against gay pride parades and things like that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really not rooting for either one side. I don't want violence. I don't want people hurt. You know what I mean? But I don't like what those people are doing. I don't like what they're teaching. I don't like how they're going after the kids. I don't like how they're pushing these medical procedures on children. I don't like the way they sexualize themselves in front of kids. I don't like the way they sexualize kids for themselves. I don't like it. You want to go do something privately, that's between you and the Lord. He'll straighten you out. But I just have a hard time rooting for either one. I hope they stay away from each other. You ought to love them. You ought to have a love. You know, you sit there, you come across folks, and you immediately want to snap to a particular kind of view of them. Well, let me summarize you in three sentences or less. Let me put you into a box so I can categorize you and lay you there. Listen, God is a God who can change anyone into anything. We cannot write people or decide that people are like the cartoon characters or the sitcom actors we see on television. Right? All in the Family. You ever watch All in the Family? I mean, it was off way before I was born. But, sorry, I thought it was funny. You got Archie Bunker. He's incredibly aggressive and cranky. You got Edith. What is she? She's the dipstick. She has no brains whatsoever. And they play up on that. You got the son-in-law. What is he? He's meathead. He's a liberal hippie. And you got the daughter who's stuck somewhere in between. They're all typecast. That's what they are. They're stuck in those molds. That ain't us. We're not stuck in one way or the other. It bums me out when I hear people say, well, it's just the way that I am. Folks, I have changed. I have seen people change greater than I've been able to change. God can do anything. And in that, we must love others as though they, just like we, are lumps of clay. I've given that illustration of my going to a high school pottery class or quite recently going to that art thing with Danielle where everybody painted so beautifully. And I got the paint on the board. I did that. And all my, you know, the stuff that I'm doing sitting there, and then maybe we look over and we say, okay, well, theirs is better. Oh, but theirs is worse. You see how bad theirs is? Oh, did you see what theirs broke? Man, I tell you what, in high school, it's like a new rate version of bullying people. If you put your stuff in the kiln and it exploded, man, you got mocked and teased. It was brutal. Never mind the fact that the thing you needed for your grade just exploded. Now everybody's laughing at you. And if yours broke somebody else's, you got in even more trouble. And there we see how we treat each other as lumps of clay. You're more broken than me. You're less than me. You didn't come out as well as me. And we fail to look over at the people who are doing better. And when we see people who are doing better, what do? Well, we got to put them down so that we can feel like we're not so much of a lost cause. No. What must we do? We love them as the moldable people they are. Well, they're molded all hazardous. Look, that will blow up. That kind of a lifestyle will hurt them. That kind of a thing that they're doing, that's going to bring terribleness to them. They're going to die and go to hell. So what are you going to do? You're going to hate them out of hell? Or are you going to go over, you're going to give them the gospel? Now, I feel the need, given the current climate among modern Christianity, to be clear. We don't pacify such things. We don't condone such things. We keep condemning such things. But I don't get to be ugly to a human being. You following me on this? Hey, what do you think about my new alternative philosophy? What do you think about my new alternative lifestyle? Well, God says it's sin, and you better repent of it because you're going to be judged. That's about as far as I go, as far as mean goes. I'll tell you what God has to say. Now, every now and then, I lose my cool. And I'll sit there, and when it comes down to an argument, I'll get heated about things. And I get embarrassed. I get embarrassed about those things that come out of my mouth when I'm hot and bothered. You know, when it comes up here in the pulpit, I have to rage. When it comes up to the pulpit, I have to smack this thing around every now and then. Why? Because that is how the Word of God must be proclaimed. But when I sit with somebody who's truly going through that problem, compassion must reign. Because it was not Jesus Christ screaming at the woman at the well. He spoke to her. But no doubt when he got up and he would teach many things, he was hot, he was passionate, he was unapologetic. But when it came down to dealing with the individual, he was kindly and patient. Just like he is, according to Brother Dennis's devotion this morning, it's exactly how he is with us. The times that we have failed him and we're still here. The disappointments we have brought to him and he's not shuffled us off. We must be kind. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. And that's where we get in trouble. We lack kindness and then we envy. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It goes like this. Hey, you know, Sister Delberta, I want you to pray for me. You know, yesterday I was walking around, I put my foot in a hole. Now right here along my knee, it hurts. Right? And then Sister Delberta goes, oh, I know all about knee pain. You're nothing but just a little baby. You don't know anything about knee pain yet. I will tell you. You know, and Brother Tim could be sitting there going, I got a brand new knee, and now it hurts. You know, what are we doing? Do we acknowledge that somebody else is hurting? Or do we all of a sudden now we're throwing our pains on the table to see who's got it worse? Right? Now what's worse? This family trauma or your family trauma? And what are we doing? I know pain. You don't know pain. I know pain. I was like the Brian Free and Assurance, their quartet. They get into some sketchy stuff, but they've got a song I kind of like, but I don't. It's Man of Sorrows. It's, Lord, I heard you were a man of sorrows. And they do perfectly well until they get right to the bottom of the chorus and they say, I'm a man of sorrows too. And to me, putting the things that I've gone through next to the things that Christ has gone through, you know what I mean? Like, do I have to say it? It's downright blasphemous. You know? I used to come home, hey, we lost this deal, we lost these move-ins, my boss yelled at me for 3 hours, this happened and then that happened, and one of my guys called in sick, so I had to go out and take care of this for him and take care of that for him, and then I come home and my kid goes, Dad, have you seen my purple crayon? It's been bumming me out all day. That's how it feels. That's how that song feels in my mind. I'm a man of sorrows too. I know the most cruel torture that could have ever been imagined was done to you. Why? Because we rejected you, so you had to come down to save us. You know, when you gave us everything and we were just like, yeah, but what about this? You know, what about some fruit? What about being like you? What about being better than you? Yeah, we're gonna just throw you away. We're gonna eat this fruit. Oh, and then you have to come down and you have to work with wood with your hands as a carpenter. You have to go and travel around and talk to us. You have to preach and teach. You have to feed the people that show up. You have to calm storms. You have to tell us the same things again and again and again and again. Even when you lay it out, 3 days I'll be in that hole and I'm coming back. We still showed up with stuff to bury you. And for what? Said that we say a man of sorrows. And that is true. In the Old Testament, that was the prophecy. He would be a man of sorrows. But Lord, I tell you what, life is so hard for me. Listen, I'm not saying life ain't hard for us. It is. I got a chance to hold the Huggins baby a little bit this weekend. Babies are fun. But you know what the biggest problems that babies have? They're experiencing everything brand new. And they can't tell you about it. And they lack the strength nor mobility to take care of it themselves. So if they've got a soggy diaper, it'd be so much easier if they could just say, hey, I'm uncomfortable, change me. But they can't do that. So what do? They get hot, they get bothered, And I tell you what, baby Hugin has inherited his grandpa's lung capacity. She sat there, she goes, why is he so loud? And I sat there, and I sat there with 4 loud kids of my own going, bless your heart. When do they get quiet again? I will let you know. Just, that's it for them. To them, it's the worst. Too much sun in my eyes. It's literally the worst thing that's ever happened to them. We all suffer at different levels. We all struggle at different levels. But we can't compare what we've got going on here to what Christ went through. Your hands may hurt, but there ain't a spike going through them. That wasn't put there by people who you loved and were doing this for, but they avidly hated you. See, we see in the love that he has shown to us, the love and the kindness and the putting others first. He didn't have to do any of this. He put us first. You realize that? In obeying his Father, which was his number one priority, he put us over himself. Well, he was just obeying his Father's will. That's what he was supposed to do. You understand that there's three and the one and the one and the three. They were in agreement with each other. And he saw what it would cost. That love needs to be a serving love, a kindly love. We had somebody come over one time. And my wife, you know, I was busy doing stuff. And my wife says, "Hey, hon, you want me to make you a plate?" And somebody got offended. No, I don't think it wasn't our house. It was somebody else's house. It was for Thanksgiving. "Hon, want me to make you a plate?" And I was cutting up the food for the kids and getting them all situated so they can just go. And then what would happen is, you know, that's how we do for family events. Danielle takes a couple kids. I would take a couple kids. Xander's old enough to do on his own. If we let Caspian go through on his own, his plates start to look like mine. So hold on, buddy, hold on. So everybody's got somebody watching over him. So you take a young one, you take an old one, and you go through the line. And we just go, and then I'll come over, and I'll chop the things up, and then she'll go through the line. Or she'll chop things up, and I'll go through the line. You know what I mean? We swap off. Somebody says, "Honey, you want me to get you?" She says, "Honey, want me to get you a plate?" And somebody at the family gathering got upset about that. You just serving your husband now? Is that what you're doing? You're just serving your husband? You know what? My wife loves me. She'll make me a plate. And you know what? Sometimes I'll make her a plate. You want to know why? Because I love her. And she cooks me dinner. You want to know why she cooks me dinner? Because she loves us. You want to know why I cook the family dinner? Because I love my family. It's love. This whole debacle of feminism is if you show any kind of love or compassion, it's subservience. The day I put the ring on my wife's finger, I promised that my decisions would always reflect care and love towards her. And when she put it on, she said she'd do the same for me. That was a decision two free-thinking individuals made in front of God. Right? So you know what? When it came down to our family having needs, I worked more. So I could take care of those needs. Why? Because I loved them. And when I would come home, my wife would have a plate for me in the microwave. Or depending on how late I got home, it'd be in the fridge. Why? Because she loved me. Love serves. As a matter of fact, the most miserable people on earth are people who only keep to themselves. Not that they're not extroverted or versus being introverted, but you can be very introverted, you can be very quiet, very placid person, and still serve others. You know, not that it would break you, not to the point to where you're denying your own needs, to where you're not sleeping anymore, to where it threatens your ability to survive, but it's perfectly possible to serve others in small ways. You know, you open a door for somebody. I can open a door by myself. I didn't think you couldn't, but wow. You ever get that? I can't believe, what was that, 10 years ago that started happening? You go to open a door for somebody. I could have got it. When was that ever the point? The point was, I'm just going to hold this door because you're a human being. You think because I'm a woman I can't open a door? I almost kind of want to go on the inside of the door and hold it shut. Say, all right, now let's see who's the boss. Since you're so good at opening doors, open this one. I had men do it. I had ladies do it. I can open that. I wasn't challenging your strength. I was trying to be nice. See, I come from a group of people that like to say hi to each other. I like to say hi to strangers. I can't help it. My wife, she's shy. She doesn't like to talk to strangers. I love talking to strangers. When I was a kid, I was that kid all those PSAs were made for. Don't get in the van, especially if they have candy. Right? Don't talk to strangers. Hi! What's your name? You know, I'll see Caspian or Gideon do that. How are you? We're all over the table. They'll just shout across the divide. How's it going? Okay. I got the sketty. You know? But there's a serving love. Let me get that door open for you. Let me grab that for you. Not because I'm trying to impress you, manipulate you, shape you, change you, get inside your head. but because you're walking through and I've got the door in my hand. Or because you've got a full hand, your hands are full and you drop something, I can get that for you. It's not about me being less of a person than you. If the Son of God, the Creator of all things, the Word incarnate, can wash the feet of man, I can go get you a plate. If God can do that without Him feeling as though He's inferior to us, I can do that without having to check what rank I am. Without sitting there trying to say, okay, well, are you a better person or a less of a person? Am I trying to say you're less of a person? I'll finish with my neighbor. They're snowbirds. I think that's the phrase that you use. They go down to Florida. And they'll spend some time down in Florida. And they've got their mom and their dad. It's their mom and dad's house. And they'll come back up with mom and dad. They'll take mom and dad down there. They'll bring mom and dad back up. And they'll be here for the summer. Well, they'd been back a little too late. You guys know how the grass has been growing. And their grass got a little high. And I sat there on my front porch after mowing my lawn, looking over at their lawn going, will they think I'm trying to say something mean if I mow it? Or would they be grateful that I mowed it? And I battled with this verse in my mind. What would I do if I came in and somebody mowed my lawn? Would I be offended that maybe they thought that I let it go too far? Or were they just trying to be nice? So finally they came home and I asked the guy. I said, hey, listen, because somebody had mowed it for them and it wasn't me. He goes, did you mow our lawn? I said, no, but I wanted to. I just didn't know how you'd take it if you'd think that I was. He goes, go ahead. He goes, before you moved in, I used to mow that lawn all the time. I go, perfect, because I would love to reciprocate that without you thinking I'm trying to be some kind of a nag or get in your business. Wonderful. Opened a door, had a great conversation, cleared things out. And it doesn't bother me to go mow his lawn. I don't feel like I owe him that. He doesn't feel like I owe him that. And if he ever does anything kind for me and my family, I don't feel as though that's owed either. It's just something you do. You know, I like getting that snowblower out. You like that? I like toys like that, where they're functional. I'll go up and down the thing until I near freeze, just doing different people's stuff. I have a good time with that. Why? It's just something nice to do. I used to work, you know, when I'd come home after a long day and I'd find out that one of my neighbors had rushed over real quick and taken care of my driveway, I was appreciative of that. That's wonderful. And then that weekend when it would snow again, I'd be the first one up to go over and take care of theirs. You know, and they'd come, I'd see them out doing it. I'd get some hot cocoa, vice versa. It's good to live that way. It builds you up. It makes you feel good. Makes other people feel good. It changes things. When it comes down to grief, depression, a lot of these other things, it helps to serve and to love others, which is interesting because it's very difficult to do so in those moments. Let's be honest. Very difficult to be a help to others when you yourself are drowning. But funnily enough, it is one of the things that can help. Won't fix things, but it'll certainly help. So that love that we show towards each other must be a serving love. It must also be an enduring love. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, enduring all things. Which means that you have to, in order for us to keep these commandments perfectly, we have to love people when they're unworthy of being loved. We have to show kindness to them when they're not very kind to us. You know, that coworker or Brother Dennis is there. You got to be kind. You got to be nice. Because in losing, I don't want to say losing because it's a purposeful choice, in letting yourself make bad decisions, making bad decisions based on your fleshly desires, that's the phrase. In making fleshly desire-filled decisions, you will wreak havoc, not just on their lives, but on yours. And you'll end up sitting there destroying somebody you could have helped. And how do you know that you weren't in that position so that you could be a kindness, so that you could be the one who gives them the gospel? Could you imagine being the brother in Christ sent to go collect Saul of Tarsus? Imagine that for a second. Hey, you know that guy killing Christians? Go talk to him. Hey, you know that atheist out there in public who's very violently violently against Christianity? It's your job to go get him. I'm going to ask you to go. He's saved now. I'm going to need you to go take care of him. That love must endure. And the only way it can endure is for us to remember the patience, love, and endurance that God has shown towards us. Or else it'll all be for naught. Well, they don't deserve love. None of us do. No, you don't understand what they did. Doesn't matter. God don't care. We shouldn't care. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, when we say these things, we're thankful. Thankful to know how it is that we can obey you best. But Lord, in doing this, we must remember that this is not to placate evil. This is not to commiserate with them. It's not to justify them. It's not to put them into a better light, but Father, just to obey you, to show love and kindness in the things that we do and to be patient in the way that we should. Lord, if we love you, we'll keep your commandments as you've said. So Lord, I pray that you help us be patient and be as clear-headed as possible when it comes down to our behavior. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.